From ACB Radio Mainstream, welcome to Tuesday Topics. For the next hour, we will be discussing a topic of interest to blind and visually impaired people. And now, from Miami, Florida, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
Yes, it is that time of year. There is nothing, I think, quite so wonderful as the first few days of the baseball season, when every single baseball fan in the whole of the United States truly believes, for one shining moment, that their team can do it. Their team can be the team that goes on to be in the World Series. For some teams, that belief goes away at the end of the first week. However, this year, I suspect that the belief may last for a little bit longer. I'm Paul Edwards in Miami, Florida, and welcome to Tuesday Topics. It is a pleasure to be with you this evening talking about baseball for a second time. I'd like to thank our producer, Brian Charlson, our recorder-editor extraordinaire, Steve Bauer, all the folks at ACB Radio, headed by Jeff Shang, who makes sure most of the time the Tuesday Topics gets up there in one piece. And, of course, I'd like to thank George Bies of Talking Community, who is the person responsible for the software we're using. Without him, there would be no Tuesday Topics. So, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Tuesday Topics, our second go-round on the subject of baseball. It is our intention to cover some topics that are different from those that we talked about last week, but we do want to try to leave enough time for us to get an opportunity for those who are minded to jump out on a limb and predict participants in the World Series and the winner thereof as well. There are a few subjects that are hangovers from last week that we promised we would get to and that we will get to tonight. And one of those subjects, and perhaps the most eagerly awaited one, at least judging by my email, and by the way, please feel free to email us at TuesdayTopics@acbradio.org if you have a message that you would like to share with the collective wisdom of Tuesday Topics. The question that seems to be exercising most people is the question of MLB.com. So, we will talk a little about that. One of the people who I wanted actually to talk about it, Brian Charlson, has just departed our room. So let me begin by asking whether anyone in the group has been successful at accessing game day audio. If not, I will talk people through the process and see if we can't get you there.
I have not been able to access it because I haven't paid for it yet, and I'll need some site help to pay for it because I'll need that. There's that last little thing I got to do there. Otherwise, I think I'll be able to get to that as soon as I get into it. But I found it to be rather accessible. And not too bad.
Good, thank you. Actually, paying for it anymore is not at all an issue. It is extremely accessible this year. I certainly handled all of that entirely by myself without any difficulty whatsoever. It's really the first time I've been able to get through paying for an item on MLB.com with the ease that I operated with this morning. It's a very, very straightforward transaction.
Well, I will confess that I paid years ago. I renew it, or they do it for me. Let's see. This year, I think they asked us to renew. One year, they renewed it, and everybody got excited. But with the price, it didn't matter. But I paid for it with the oldest computer around, the telephone, which is ringing right now. I'll give you an 800 number. My wife's grabbing it, I guess. I better grab it. So I'll come back. But I just called them, and they did it.
And they will. And actually, if you let them know at MLB.com that you are blind, they will be pretty open about helping you to complete the payment transaction. My recollection, and Bob can correct me if I'm wrong, is that the number is 888-800-1275. 888-800-1275. And that will take you to the MLB.com website, which will then allow you to go ahead and pay for game day audio. So let's talk about the game day, the MLB.com website. It is, as usual, an absolutely humongous website, and it is difficult sometimes to find your way around that website. At the top of the website, on virtually every page, there is a series of components which are separated by vertical bars. And these components include different languages that the website is available in. MLB.com, being the international entity it is available in the Chinese, Japanese, Korean, and Spanish, as well as English. There is also, among the things that's included there, a heading which says audio and video. But before that, there is a spot that says login or register. And it is necessary in order to use Game Day Audio for you to create an account. That account, in fact, gets created when you purchase your subscription to Game Day Audio, which is, what, $14.95 for the year. So it isn't a huge outlay of dollars, and that entitles you to access to archived games. So if there's a game that's played later this year that's absolutely phenomenal and you want to hear it all, you can certainly go to that date and listen to that game. And it entitles you to listen to both the home and away broadcasters, and where available also allows you to listen to Spanish language versions of the games that are out there. So the first thing that you have to do then is to acquire the subscription to Game Day Audio. And you essentially do that by going to audio, video, and then looking for subscriptions. And when you get there, you can go down and find Game Day Audio and click on it. And that will take you to a place where initially it will ask you whether you have an account or not. And if you answer yes, then it will take you through a process where it will try to identify where you are. I actually decided that it was going to, in the long run, be easier for me to simply say that I didn't have an account, even though I've been a long-time user of Game Day Audio. So I went down and indicated that I didn't have an account. It then takes you through the process of setting up both your account and your subscription. And it immediately takes you, once you've made that decision with regard to Game Day Audio, to a page that it calls the cart. You're required to put in an email address and a password and a confirmation of your password. You're required to put in your billing information. You're required to put in your first name and address. And you're required to make a number of decisions. The only place that I found remotely difficult is there is a huge, I mean huge, agreement that you're encouraged to read. And I got kind of caught in the middle of that agreement and found it a little bit difficult to get past it. The other thing that I would warn people to, because I got in trouble with it, is it asks for a two-digit expiration date month and a two-digit expiration date year. And it looks very much as though you are actually in an edit box Well, you're not. What you are is in two different combo boxes, and you need to move through those combo boxes and choose the month and the year of the expiration date. I'm sort of impressed there are actually dates as late as 2016, and I don't know anybody who has a credit card that expires in 2016. They don't need to buy game day audio. They buy baseball teams. So once you complete your purchase, it actually is a very clear process. In the past, I've always found that there was at least one stumbling block. I didn't find one today. I was able to go through the whole process, and the very last thing that you were asked to do is to confirm your purchase. Once you do that, it takes you to another page where it essentially says thanks for your purchase and puts you on a page where there, in fact, is some help available about game day audio, which you can click on and look at. And that helped. Let me stop for a minute and see if anybody has any questions or has gone through this process and may have some other things they'd like to bring up as part of our discussion.
The problem I had is I got through the combo boxes. It was the last little thing about the product number and the code number and whatever that I didn't understand that thing.
I bet I know what you're talking about. There is a place below everything where you have the option of entering a promotion code if you have one. Let me give you an example. If you join the St. Louis Cardinals kind of club, and I have no idea how much it costs to do that, one of their perks is game day audio free. And so I assume that they actually provide you with a promo code that allows you to go through, fill in nothing except your personal information, put in their promo code, and hey presto, you're good to go.
Oh, okay, because I'm not interested in any of that at all. So I suppose I just leave that blank. But then again, I tried doing that, and I'll have to try that again later on.
That's what I did. I simply ignored it and went on. Okay, so now you have actually completed the purchase, and it's as I say, it is a really accessible process. But life doesn't remain lucky. The next thing that I did was to log out and start all over again because I wanted to give the purchase an opportunity to take. So I went off and did some other things and then went back into MLB.com and logged in, did that first. Then I went to the audio and video link and clicked on it. And immediately below that, in fact, it's a drop-down menu. There are a series of links that are not read well by JAWS. But one of the things that's there is something that if you really explore it with the JAWS cursor, says something like reg season. And this regular season thing is the thing that you click on. And once you click on that, it actually brings up both a calendar as well as the various games that you can get to. The first adventure that you end up having to go through occurs when you actually select one of the games from Game Day Audio. And, of course, at the time when I was doing it, I ended up selecting an archived game from yesterday. And what it then may well tell you is that in order to access this page, you need to update Flash. You really don't have a lot of choice. They say if the page is going to function, you just have to do it. There isn't any reason not to do it, except it's another step that you have to go through. It's a pretty accessible process, and there was really no problem in doing the upgrade. The next step involves downloading the new Windows Media Player that Game Day Audio uses. And here is where I didn't have a chance to truly complete my work. It appears, and I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but it appears that this is the one spot where you appear to need sighted assistance. There is apparently a graphical arrow that you have to click on in order to get the download of the player started. I have not so far been able to find anyone who has been able to get to that arrow legitimately. Once you get to the arrow with some sighted assistance and download the player, the rest of the process is actually pretty straightforward. You simply click on a game within the player, and that game relatively quickly starts to play. There are two major shortcomings. The first one Jeff Bishop talked about last week, and that is, he is correct. I have not been able to find a way to adjust the volume on the new media player. However, the second point that I want to make is that according to MLB.com, even though they believe that you're going to get a better media experience with the new player, it is possible to use the classic Windows media player. And there is, in the top left-hand corner of the player, a clickable element that will allow you to switch back to a classical media player, which of course is a web browser based player, but should allow you without any difficulty to adjust the volume up and down when you're playing a game. So far, I have not had an opportunity, or I have not been able to find the spot that allows you to click on that component. I will put out an email to the Tuesday Topics list tomorrow that will update once and for all whether and or how one can permanently set the machine back to the classic Windows media approach. I tried to do that from the beginning, and the system was really uncomfortable doing that. It really wants you to download the new player. So, are there any specific questions I can help folks with?
Hey, Paul, it's Bob Hache, and I have been using Game Day Audio for about 5 or 6 years, and I went and tried to get on there yesterday and fumbled around a little bit, and I got as far as you talked about, and I was unable to download what they called the Silverlight. I did call a friend who told me a couple of things. She was somehow able to get to that arrow, although I think she did it just by luck because her instructions did not work for me. The other thing that she did tell me is that you could use the regular Windows media player if you happen to have somebody sighted to click the little graphical that JAWS doesn't read. These are the tales of woe. And my real frustration goes like this. Myself, Rick Morin, Brian Charlson, and a representative from the Disability Law Center here in Massachusetts had a long discussion with some folks from the MLB website last year about accessibility, and we told them, A, that a lot of blind people are using it, which they think they already know, and B, that it is a major frustration every year when they make all of these changes to their site. And they assured us that they would check back with us before the season. We haven't heard a word from them in months.
Well, Bob, thank you for doing that. You and Brian and the other gentleman was. Let me just share my experience. Paul has helped a great deal here. I have called MLB, and they've set my complaint up, and they're supposed to call me back. Good luck, I guess. But I went in spring training. I did the spring training approach, and I logged in, and I went to Multimedia Guide. I did media, and it got to Multimedia Guide, entered, and just went to my station. And even when I didn't log in at the beginning, Paul and others, I went to the station, and they prompted me to log in. And it was easy, and it was great. But now, when I went to Multimedia, they want me to download Silverlight, okay? And I've had a sighted friend do it in my desktop, but it's still, what I get now when I log in, I'm able to log in that way, I get Major League Media, nothing though when I enter. So I'm going to try your method. But what is this Silverlight? Is it their media player? Is that the idea?
Silverlight is, according to MLB.com, a Microsoft product and is alleged to be the next generation of media player. In general, looks just a smidge like, and I don't know how many of you play with this, the BBC player. That is, it is a self-contained device that for the most part takes over your whole screen and where you can move from game to game within it, very much like you could, oh, say 7, 8, 9 years ago when the whole MLB page turned into a player-like device that allowed you to switch back and forth between real player and media player, and where the sound was absolutely horrendous. I think the good news is that the sound is actually pretty consistently good on MLB.com this year with virtually all of the feeds, and that is good news. I, too, have called MLB.com and filed a complaint. I filed a complaint based on the inaccessibility of the device, and I also filed a complaint based on the fact that the people who provide customer service on the telephone have no idea how to help a blind person to get past the process. They can certainly help you with the purchase, but in terms of understanding enough about screen readers to know that there are really major issues, it just doesn't work. I did have one of them offer to give me my money back, but that's not the point. And I would urge everyone to call the number, and Bob, I hope my number was right, 888-800-1275, and ask them to tell you how a blind person is supposed to download Silverlight. And don't quit until you get somebody pretty high up in the system. And you guys in Boston, if you have contacts at MLB.com, I'd be calling them and telling them that that there are lynch mobs out for MLB.com as we speak. Any other questions on this topic?
Okay, I think it's 866 is what I've used, 800. But, you know, either way, 800-1275 is correct. So if you have 888, I think mine was 866, and you're absolutely right. They do not know, the people at the phones barely know anything about computers, let alone anything else. I will only say in conclusion, I sure thank you guys. This has helped a lot here, the explanation. But I got Sweetman Systems on it, and she says, yes, there is an orange button that is, when we went to Multimedia Guide, I told her how I did it. She says, I found it. I saw what you did. And there's an orange button that is inaccessible in my opinion. And Bob Sweetman is pretty good with JAWS and getting calls all over the place. So I guess the question I had, the final one, Paul, is if I get a sighted guy to press that magic button to use my regular media player, will it stay that way all season, or do we have to do it every time we go in there?
To answer your last question, according to what my friend told me with the sighted assistance, you have to go ahead and do that each and every time, so you really will need to go ahead and get that silver light. If you want to be able to use it independently, apparently. Another thing, this friend was good enough to send me a direct link, and I did try it, and it brings me now with one click right to the page with all of the games and the radio stations, which is kind of neat. I can email that on to you, Paul, or to the Tuesday Topics email address if you'd like. It doesn't help with the Silverlight, but it seems to make life easier to use the system, and then you don't have to go looking for stuff, and of course you still have to log in, but that's the easy part.
Paul, this is Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan. You'd mentioned the using Flash for these MLB things. Well, you mentioned needing sighted assistance, but I don't know that the Flash players in themselves are very, very accessible for blind people. At least I don't seem to think so. What do you folks think?
Well, the Flash player is really just to make the page work okay, and it's not a big deal. It certainly didn't interfere with the price of cheese for me. It's not something I would worry too much about. I think the most important thing, at least from my perspective, is for all of us, and Bob, I bow to your superior memory. Thank you, sir. So Please ignore my earlier numbers. It's 866-800-1275. I think all of us need to be calling and suggesting to MLB.com that this is just not appropriate. There are a lot of us who've been pretty loyal MLB customers for an awfully long time, and we deserve better treatment than to hassle every year. And it seems that there is something every darn year that we have to deal with. And there have been more changes in the way that Game Day Audio is delivered over the past decade than you can shake a stick at. And it's pretty disheartening. At least it is for this baseball fanatic. One final chance for questions or comments on Game Day Audio, and then we'll spend just a few minutes talking about XM Radio, talking about first what they offer in terms of MLB, and then talking a little bit about the accessibility of XM Radio as the current state of the game is. So, final questions on Game Day Audio or comments?
Gil Vickery, and I've been on the phone with MLB almost daily, and each time, obviously, as we've heard, they're not listening to what we are trying to explain to them. But I have found a somewhat fix, and actually I'm listening to a game right now. I actually got on the multimedia page, and what I did is I saved it in my favorites. Then I've saved it to my start page. So I'm using it right now for my start page, and it's working as a fix, but not like we've had in the past. I surely enjoyed years past of just setting some place markers, bing, bang, boom, and you're in there. But unfortunately, the barriers that are existing right now are not obviously the way we want to do it. We need to continue our advocacy efforts.
Thank you. And I guess you and I and others are at the place where we're prepared to put up with an awful lot of crud in order to make something that we enjoy happen. And it's sad that what we get for our pain is being put further behind the eight ball. That's a very sad situation.
Little boy in a baseball hat stands in the field with his ball and bat. Says, I am the greatest player of them all. Puts his bat on his shoulder and he tosses up his ball. And the ball goes up and the ball comes down, swings his bat all the way around. The world's so still you can hear the sound. The baseball falls to the ground. Now it's supper time and his mama calls. Little boy starts home with his bat and ball. Says, I am the greatest. That is a fact, but even I didn't know I could pitch that good.
From ACB Radio Mainstream, you are listening to Tuesday Topics. If you have comments about the show or a suggestion of a topic you would like to have discussed, send a message to TuesdayTopics@acbradio.org. That's TuesdayTopics@acbradio.org.
I had a 6 transistor when I was a kid. Under my pillow, I kept it hid. When the lights went out and no one could see, over the airwaves the world came to me.
Once again, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
I'd go through the stations till I found a game. I knew how they played by the sounds of their names. The sluggers hit homers, those pitchers threw smoke. And I watched it all on my radio. At the crack of the bat, I knew how far it'd go. And I watched it all on my radio. I watched it all on my radio.
Let me spend just a little bit of time talking about XM Radio. When I determined to get XM Radio, baseball was a primary determinant in terms of why I chose XM over Sirius. There are actually a lot of other factors that in the long run, to me, make XM a far better choice in terms of radio. And at some point, we can discuss some of those things in more detail. But for now, what I wanted to stress is that baseball was certainly a primary factor. The XM radio folks operate channel 175, which is called home plate. And channel 175 is a 24-hour a day, 7-day-a-week baseball channel. They broadcast classic games from 3 a.m. to 6 in the morning. And the hosts of their programs are truly excellent. In the morning, Buck Martinez and his last name is Patrick. His first name is eluding me for a minute. Do a morning program, which is really a lot of fun. The guests that they have are excellent. The Rifkin brothers do a program, and all during the off season, my interest in baseball is actually maintained by being involved with this channel. The channel broadcasts the congressional hearings live and on steroids, and did a really good job of covering that issue as it unfolded, as well as the congressional report that was issued. And in general, channel 175 is wonderful. During the major league season, home plate is kind of the general, but every single game that is played in the major leagues is available on XM on channels 176 through 189. And there is also a channel for Spanish language games that typically does 2 games a day. The approach that's taken by XM Radio is the home team is given the opportunity to do the broadcast. So obviously, eventually in the year, you hear every single radio broadcaster who is doing games. When it first started, 3 to 4 years ago when I first started, there was some unevenness in quality. Now, I would suggest that the standard of all of the channels is extremely high. Certainly as good as you'll get on your radio anywhere, and sometimes a little better. So in terms of the effectiveness of the XM broadcasts and the high quality and the switching from one to another, that's truly excellent. So in a moment, I'll talk a little bit about the accessibility of XM radios and how they appear to be working now. But before I do that, let me see if anybody has a question on any of the stuff that I've talked about so far.
Just want to mention that the favorite show on there is Charlie Steiner's show, the Baseball Beat. That's my favorite show. And then I like Rob Dillon and Kevin Kennedy, but the Beat's my favorite. And everything you say is so true. And as far as the quality goes, no question. I think the quality's gotten better as of this year.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, Rob Dibble and Kevin Kennedy host a program from 3 to 6 in the afternoon Eastern Time, or from noon to 3, and from 1 to 3 in the afternoon, there is a show called The Baseball Beat that, as Wayne quite rightly indicates, is hosted by Charlie Steiner, who is one of the announcers for the Dodgers. And I guess what impresses me about home plate is there is a level of sophistication about their coverage of baseball that's not available anywhere else, in my opinion. When you've got folks like Rob Dibble and Kevin Kennedy or Charlie Steiner actually hosting programs, or the Rifkin brothers doing a weekly program that they do all through the season, you have people who truly know the game who are not having mere broadcasters interposed in their way. And essentially, what that means is I've probably gained more insight and learned more about the game of baseball over the past couple of years of listening to home plate than I'd learned from broadcasters a lot of the time, because the perspective of the people who host most of the shows on XM Radio is so much from the inside of the game. So that's that. Now, just a couple of comments about accessibility, and then we will shut up and get on to something else. There is a kind of a general belief that XM radios, as they're being made now, are not accessible. That is not the case. There is a learning curve to learning how to use XM radios, and it is accurate that many of them no longer have number pads. When XM radio first came out, most of the radios had number pads. All of the XM radios now that I know about have a remote control that does have a number pad if you are really wedded to utilizing a number pad in order to select channels. The approach that's taken by most of the newest XM receivers, and by the way, over the past couple of years, the reception, particularly of the portables, has improved quite a bit, so that I now can use a portable, which I have, which is an Inno, I-N-N-O, and it's made by Pioneer. I can use it most places. In really tough concrete buildings, it doesn't work, and I've got to use some sort of an antenna with it. Not a portable antenna would even work there. You've got to use a slightly more complicated approach if you're really in an awful building. But outside in most of the city where I live, which is Miami, I've had no real problem with the Inno. Let me see if I can take a stab at describing the way you move from channel to channel. What you have on most receivers now is either a square or a round device which is pressable in four directions, north, south, east, and west. On the device I have, it's a square element with a button in the center, and you can actually feel markings at north, south, east, and west. When you press the left-hand side of the control once, you are pointing at the number 5, and what amounts to a virtual keyboard comes up on the screen. So if you wanted to select channel 28, you'd go up once and press the center button, go down twice and press the center button, and wait a couple of minutes, and hey presto, you'd have channel 28, which happens to be where you hear Broadway music. If you press your left-hand button twice, you're pointing at the number 4. So obviously, if you wanted to get to channel 175, you'd go up once, press the center button, down twice, press the center button, up once, and right once, and press the center button, 175. The bottom line is, it sounds complicated until you try it for a little while, and after you've played with it, it really does become pretty second nature. So, and as I say, all of the XM radios that I know about come with remote controls. So if you really don't want to go the route of learning to use this approach, you can key in a channel by number. The portable XM radios, as I say, are a little bit more powerful. They generally run for a minimum of 3 hours on a charge, and take about 4 hours to recharge. Obviously, if you run them at home plugged in, they'll be just fine. They are very easy to run into a stereo system. They are very easy to connect to a set of, I'm in my bedroom, I'm actually using a set of computer speakers with a subwoofer, and they work just fine. You do better if you use amplified speakers. In fact, frankly, other speakers just don't work well enough to make it worthwhile. Obviously, you can use virtually any kind of headphone with them. And on most XM systems, and I'm not going to go into this now. If we do a whole program on XM radio, we sure can. but most of the XM radios that are out there now will also act as transmitters that will actually allow you to send the XM signal into an FM radio system that you might have in the house, which would then allow you to use your radio receiver to actually pick up the signal from the XM radio. Bottom line is, I think XM radio is pretty accessible. I currently have 3 receivers and have had a 4th, and I haven't found very much on those receivers that I couldn't do with a little work. Most of them now actually have built-in recording. I have up to a gig of memory for recording available in the small portable that I have, which is, let me see if I can think of something that would be the equivalent in terms of size. Well, it's certainly smaller than a cigarette pack, considerably smaller. The thing about the new XM receivers is that they're extremely thin. The Inno is no more than an inch thick at most. That's a little discussion. Let me see if there are any specific questions about XM radio and their coverage of baseball.
I am an XM user. I use a MiFi as a portable. I have a Yamaha receiver that has FM, AM, XM, every M you can imagine on it, and I enjoy using it for all of these things. My only real frustration with any of the equipment is I don't find that using the recording function is a very easy thing to accomplish. It's way too much effort for me, and so I don't get engaged in that. The other thing is, while I've enjoyed taking my MiFi with me, and it does have a antenna component to it that would allow me to easily pick up a good signal while at a live event, the delays that we complain about in terms of standard radio is even more so for XM, because the digital audio is disassembled and dispersed off satellites and reassembled in your receiver. And as a result, there's an extra delay that happens there beyond the standard radio delay. So I just want to warn people about using the portable units in a live event.
I've experimented a little, Brian, and my general conclusion is that delay is probably about now 15 seconds or so, somewhere between 15 and 20 seconds. Would you concur with that?
My general rule of thumb is that we're a pitch behind, is what it amounts to in baseball. On average, about a pitch behind, which means it's very difficult to get excited at the right time at a live event. There have been times when our local radio stations attempt to make their delay the same thing as the TV delay, and as a result of that, we get an even greater delay. But generally speaking, you're going to get 5 seconds one way or the other. You're going to get 15 if they're syncing with TV, and you're going to get 15 or so with an XM signal.
Well, that would be frustrating if I was at a game and I had an XM receiver and that was a pitch behind, and the radio was a pitch behind what was actually happening. I would wonder what the heck is going on.
I don't use my XM radio at the game that I go to. I would generally take either a TV radio that if I happen to have access to that particular game on TV, or use the radio broadcast. And I've actually found the delay for radio is not quite as annoying down here. I don't think it's probably quite as long as it appears to be in Boston. You'll have to try coming to a game down here, Brian, when you're here, assuming that we can get you down here later in the year. But I use the XM radio at games to keep in touch with what's going on with other games. And, of course, that's the major advantage of the XM radio. If you keep in touch with baseball and are interested in baseball as an exercise, as a sport, as I am and as many of us who are kind of hard and fast baseball fanatics do, one of the things that you want to be able to do is to, at will, go to a game where something pretty cool is happening, like a no-hitter, or go to a game where there is an amazing rally going on, or go to a game where somebody you love to hate is being absolutely creamed by the opposition. That's what I use the XM for, and that's why for me XM and Game Day Audio are so cool. And of course, Game Day Audio is fun because it's often really interesting, particularly when there's been a major event that's happened the day before, to go into the archives and listen to that event from two different sides and hear both broadcasters talking about the game. And so that's kind of fun to do with Game Day Audio. And by the way, Brian, that's an interesting thought. And by the way, the delay in Game Day Audio is about the same as the delay in XM, for anyone who cares.
Speaking of Game Day Audio, one more question. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he had been listening to some Game Day Audio, and this is a sighted guy now, but I was talking to him, and he said that some of the Game Day Audio broadcasts were actually raw feeds, where they didn't go to the where there weren't always commercials, where they stayed at the ballpark sometimes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Some of the television feeds that I'm looking at this week are raw feeds as well. That has always been true of Game Day Audio, Wayne. There have always been some Game Day Audio feeds that are raw, where in between innings it doesn't go back to the station, but you're actually just getting the ballpark feed. It appears to depend a lot on what signal people can get. And I think by choice, Game Day Audio would actually use the commercial feeds, but sometimes is unable to get to those feeds and therefore has to use the uplink feed that, of course, does not include commercials. Now is your chance. So who would like to go first?
Because I have to get out of here soon because the game is about to begin, I might as well tell you that there's no doubt in my mind that the Red Sox are going to have a stellar season. There's no doubt in my mind that they will be in the playoffs, that in fact they will win their division. So much depends on injuries and such whatnot that I think anybody who prognosticates is foolish unless their team has as much depth as, say, the Red Sox have. We have a store up here in New England that last year took out an insurance policy, and if you bought any furniture from this particular store and the Red Sox won the World Series, you'd get your money back. And 24,000 customers got their money back last year. Now, this year, the offer's a little different. They not only have to win, but they have to sweep. That might seem a little daunting to some, but inasmuch as the Red Sox are the only team that won two World Series in this century, and inasmuch as both times they swept, I suppose it's not inconceivable that they could pull it off again.
Okay, thank you, Brian. And who will be their National League opponent, please?
I'm going to pull for my Dodgers, naturally. I think they can do it if everything goes right. If the youngsters, Loney, Martin, Kemp, and also if Jeff Kent and Nomar Garciaparra can recover from their present injuries and have good years, if the pitching holds up well, especially if this Clayton Kershaw fella comes up in May or June, which they're talking about him doing, and if he can make it as good as he looked in spring training, there's a lot of yes ands or buts, no question about it, but I'm going to pull for the Dodgers, naturally, and I think a Dodger-Boston series would be nice, but I'm also going to pull for, but personally, I'm going to root for Detroit to be in there instead of Boston this year.
Brian, would you like to, that is Charleston, would you like to pick a National League opponent for the Red Sox?
I do think the Dodgers have a chance at it, though what's this, again, I mentioned the problems with the DL, and already I believe the Dodgers are having some problems in that regard. We have a little experience here in Boston with Nomar, and the fact of the matter is that I think we treated him at the right time in terms of what's happening to him and, well, with respect to his chronic injuries. So I hope you don't really plan on him being a big part of the team.
Personally, I wouldn't be too disappointed if he weren't. I'm more interested in the younger players myself. I'm glad when Nomar does a good job, but I just don't know about him sometimes.
Would anybody else care to jump in with a prediction? We have one vote for the Dodgers, and we have one vote for the Red Sox.
Yeah, Paul, in terms of the National League, I think the Mets have a really good shot this year. You've got Santana, and if Pedro has a good year, it could be pretty interesting. And a Mets-Red Sox series would be pretty neat, as would a Dodgers-Red Sox series, where I'm sure the crowd would be giving Joe Torre a standing ovation and booing Nomar within 10-15 seconds of each other.
All right. For fun, let's try one other category where we probably can exercise, well, maybe we can exercise our independent baseball judgment. Who's going to be the MVP in each league? Who would like to jump into that question?
Hey, this is Bob Hache, and before I continue, I just sent you an email, Paul, which not only brings the users directly to the page with the stations, but it solves the Silverlight program. I just downloaded it independently, and the MVP of the American League is going to be Manny Ramirez of the Red Sox, based on the fact that he's going for a contract, and the man is money motivated. National League, I don't have enough knowledge on the National League, so I'm going to remain mum on that one.
Thank you. Bob, I will post that email to the email list for Tuesday Topics. So if you guys are not on it, I'll also probably post it to the friends list on ACB Radio, so that if you're on the friends list, you'll get it as well. Last week I made a prediction, and for the heck of it, I'm going to stick with it. I think the team that will get into the World Series from the American League is the Toronto Blue Jays. And that's a pretty off-the-wall prediction, but it's based on my belief that they've got a strong lineup that is not quite so full of itself as some of the other strong lineups are. I think there are a number of new players who have joined that team who are going to really spark an interest in the game, not only in Toronto itself, but among the team that I think has played baseball in a kind of a low-key way over the past few years. I think that in the National League, and I don't know whether sentiment is playing a part here, I would really love to see the Cubs make it to a World Series just as a baseball fan. And I think there's some symmetry in them making it 100 years since the last time they actually made it to a World Series and won. So 1908 and 2008 may be the year of the Cubs. If I had to make a second pick in the National League, I actually like the Dodgers, I think. I think their pitching is going to be very strong as long as everybody remains healthy. And I think their hitting's getting better, and I think Joe Torre is an extremely good manager. So I think we shall see what happens. So those are my predictions for what will happen in Major League Baseball, and I will probably be proven wrong before any of the rest of you are.
Thank you.
on our program. Whatever we may say about baseball, the fact is that there are an awful lot of people who are engaged by the sport and who revel in the joy of coming to terms with all of the logical decisions that are made as part of every single game that every single team plays. Whatever team you support and whatever team you think is going to win this year, the fact is that baseball remains the national pastime. And no matter what they do with football and hockey and basketball, for me and for many others, baseball will remain the quintessential American sport, the sport where our capacity to think and our capacity to make logical decisions based on a whole hierarchy of reasons that we must go through or end up suffering for it remains the most exciting and cerebral game that's out there. On behalf of everyone at Tuesday Topics, I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in and for being a part of Tuesday Topics. Remember, whatever you do, whether you are a Dodger fan or a Yankee fan or a Red Sox fan, the game is everything. Listen to the games. Make baseball a part of your life and you'll be richer. Good night.
To participate in the recording of Tuesday Topics, we invite you to join us on Tuesday evenings in the U.S. at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's Wednesday at 2 hours Universal. The program is recorded in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. That's ourplace.acbradio.org. All you need is a microphone that is plugged into your computer sound card. A few minutes before each program begins, those who are online will be happy to assist with audio checks and to answer questions about the chat room software. An announcement about the show, including information about the topic and the guest speaker, will be emailed to the ACB Radio Friends List. So we hope you will come and join us each week on Tuesday, when Tuesday Topics is being recorded. We'll look for you in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. It's root for the home team. And if they don't win, what else is new? And it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out. At the old ball game, play it, Jethro.
Tuesday Topics is a production of ACB Radio Mainstream.